Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Faith without works is dead, being alone. What good is it to say that I believe, but it never is translated into action? God just doesn't want us to come in here on Sunday morning and sing nice songs and declare our faith. He does that. He does want that. But this has to be translated into what we do this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow and the next day in the battles that God places before us, because he will place them. He is going to bring us. If he's going to have a people that are able to stand in this hour, we're going to have to learn on the field of battle how to stand, aren't we? We're going to have a faith that is ready to stand in this battle and that battle and the other one, and stand on behalf of one another too. You know, part of what we read in 1 Peter 5 has to do with resisting or being alert for the devil and so forth. He wants to go around and eat people, basically. Whom resist, firm in the faith, steadfast in the faith, depending on the translation. There has to come a place where we not only recognize what's going on, but we are standing and we're saying, no, devil, I don't believe you. I believe God. I am trusting my life into his hands. His purpose is the one that is going to prevail in this circumstance. If the Lord allows you to kill me, praise God, I know where I'm going. Because Jesus has already taken hold of my life. He's given me a life that you can't kill. All the forces of hell tried to keep him in that grave. And not one of them could prevail. He came forth and the devils ran screaming. They stopped their three-day party and they went screaming into the night. My God, it's all over. What looked to be our greatest final victory turns out to be our absolute defeat. Thank God for what happened at the cross and the resurrection. The battle was won. Satan was paraded in defeat. But God wants everyone here to know that the same power that brought Jesus out from the dead is the power that he operates in our lives through. It's the one that he offers to us so that we can share in what he has given to us. I don't have it in myself. God has lots of ways to show me that, to remind me of that. Does he not with you as well? Do we not come regularly to a place where we suddenly see what's lacking in us? I'm so glad God is faithful. I'm so glad he wants to take me to a better place where faith is stronger. What a wonderful thing it was for Jesus, the example, to go through his day looking to his Father, walking with him, seeking his wisdom, always letting his Father know, I'm here to do your will, not mine. I don't know what to do, Lord. Father, show me what to do. And acting on that and believing that the God who gave him that wisdom and that direction was going to make it happen. And it didn't matter what the devil threw at him. He was going to go and just do it and be at rest in peace. Wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of a rest and a confidence in our heart? I need that. And as I say, God is going to give us circumstances that will absolutely bring that to pass in our hearts. There's so many things that could be said, and I'm just looking to the Lord as to where the focus needs to be. But obviously, faith is first of all, it has to be there. If you have opened your heart and Christ has come in, you've got faith. The problem is that we don't live by that faith to the degree that we need to. And God, like I say, is going to bring us into circumstances where we're going to have a choice. You know, we had a message, I forget how many, a few years ago now, called Facts Versus Faith. You remember that? And how many times God will bring you to a situation, and it has brought his people to situations where the facts are clear. If you go by every earthly indication, there is no possible answer for that situation. But then God says something different. Now, which are we going to go by, the facts or the faith? Abraham was brought to that place, wasn't he? He was brought to a place where there was no possible answer, no possible way on a human level that God's promise could be fulfilled. His wife was 90 years old, long past the age of childbearing. Abraham himself was, what, 199, something like that? And there they were, and yet God said, I'm going to come in a year, you're going to have a son. That's the one that I'm looking for. What did he do? Which did he go by? Every earthly consideration, the facts of the matter dictated this cannot happen. But God said. Do you not know, do we not know that God can do anything? God's not limited. I'll tell you, whatever he declares out of his mouth, it's going to happen. You know, I had this picture of the Lord at the beginning saying, let there be light. Whoops, that didn't work. Let me see if I... Maybe I didn't hold my mouth right. Let there be light. No. Do you think that's how it is with God? He is all powerful. When he says something, it happens. I want to be one of those that says, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. If we're sensitive to him, I'm not talking about trying to use God to make my earthly life better. I'm talking about that place of humility where I'm in his hands and I want his plan. I want his will. I'm committed to that. When I ask for wisdom, I'm committed to that wisdom before I know what it is. I mean, how can we say we have faith in him if we're waiting on him to, as we say, lay his cards on the table and then we decide? We're just saying, I'm my own God. Let's negotiate. There ain't no negotiating. I'll tell you, if we really trust in him and put our faith in him, everything is laid on the line and we say, God, just tell me what to do. And by faith, I'm going to step out. I'm not going to just sit here and say, I believe. I'm not going to stew in my mind with all the fear and all the anxiety and all the earthly figuring. I'm just going to say, God, you do what you're going to do. You are on the throne, and I am trusting in you. I thought of this in one sense. So many scriptures that and examples that God has given us in the Word that bear on this. Obviously, one of them is David and Goliath. We've heard the account so many times. But here was David brought to a place where God was going to bring him out and make him, you know, begin to move him toward the throne and make him a public figure. Everybody would know. And there he was coming to the battle, and there was this 9-foot-9-inch champion challenging the Israelites to man-to-man combat, and that's going to determine the course of the war. Now, that's a pretty tall order for someone just to march in there unprepared. And so that's how the army was. They were just scared to death every time he came out. David got there and said, what's the problem? This isn't an earthly battle. David, in the first place, he saw beyond just the earthly, didn't he? He realized these were the heathen gods inspiring these people, but we serve the living God. We serve the one who is on the throne. This is not an earthly battle here. This is his battle. Now, how in the world could David say such a thing? It was faith, obviously. But do you not see how God prepared him for that hour? God just didn't suddenly throw him in the deep end of the pool and say, now, let's do something heroic here. God knows where we're at. God knows where you're at. He's not upset with us. He knows that we're in that place. Jesus commented on their faith and the need for more faith through his disciples, but it wasn't in a tone of disgust. Do you think it was? Yeah, what's the matter with you? I don't think it was that way at all. Rather, it was just pointing out the need and reminding them, God has put us in a situation in this storm, in that one instance where where we're going to have to trust what God said rather than what we're seeing and experiencing in our in the natural realm. But you remember how the Lord brought David to that place and got him ready? Yeah. I remember one time, you know, lions and tigers and bears. There's no tiger in this one, this story. But David's job was keeping the sheep. And there was a faithfulness in it. But David just didn't sit out there and twiddle his thumbs and keep the sheep. There was a relationship going on. He was looking to God, and he was learning how to worship God. He was getting to know God, using that time that he had to be able to learn how to be a good shepherd, a faithful shepherd. And the Lord said, you know, I want to use him down here. I've got a job. I've got a time when I want to really demonstrate who I am, not just to the Philistines, not to the rest of Israel, but to the nations. They're going to hear about this one. And I want to use him in a very special way, but he's not ready. And so the Lord sent a bear. And now David has got some facts to deal with. That bear is bigger than I am. And he's hungry. What am I going to do? And the Lord gave him the faith to deal with the bear. So he had bear faith at that point. He had what he needed to meet that particular need, because there was a willingness to look to God and to keep doing what he knew he was supposed to do, realizing I can't do this in my own strength, but God's with me. God's given me this job, so I'm going to do what I know is right, and I'm trusting God to give me the strength to do it. He doesn't go into that kind of detail, but can you not see that that's what's going on? And so there he was, and he dealt with the bear. And the Lord said, praise God, that's good. And he said, but I still need to give him another lesson. And that's when he sent the lion out, and the same thing happened. And he literally took that lion by the beard. Anybody here ready to do that? Yeah, we can read about it and say, isn't that great? But you know, there are situations God is going to put you and me in where that's about what has to happen. God, give us the faith and the strength to be able to rise up and say, this is not the earthly battle. This is God's battle. This is not just circumstances and people coming at me. The Lord has allowed the devil to come. There's an inspiration behind what's going on here. And it is an attack when the devil is trying to take me down and work in me and discourage me and sidetrack me, cause me to try to rely on myself. What are we going to do? Well, David learned in the battle, in the field of real circumstance. He had faith, but he took action based upon that faith, and God backed him up. And so when Goliath came, he was ready. There's probably some Goliaths coming, aren't there? Don't you think? Do you want to be one of those people? Do you have the strength in yourself? I certainly don't. I don't know what's coming. But I know that right now, today, God is going to put you and me in places where we are going to have to take a stand and believe him in the face of whatever circumstances are dictating and seeming to say, may God help us. And of course, everybody here knows the account of Jehoshaphat. Here was a king over Israel. And it right before that chapter 20, I don't think I'm going to turn there necessarily, but chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, is it? Right before that, you see him doing all kinds of good, honorable things in Israel, trying to set this right and that right and tell the people that they're rendering judgment in conflicts. Be sure you judge rightly and all those things. He's trying to be a righteous king. And then what happens? You have an incredibly large army that he suddenly says, they're coming. And I am so blessed that when that happens, I don't see him calling a war council. That would have been the natural reaction to that. Let's get our generals together. Let's have a strategy meeting. Let's figure out how we can deal with this. He didn't do that. He called a fast. Let's get together and pray and simply lay this before God. We did not ask for this circumstance. We didn't do anything to provoke it. We're just here minding our own business. And this happened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You go along in your life and you're minding your own business and suddenly something happens that just comes at you and you have to deal with it? Yeah, that's life. That's called life. And it happens. And God allows it. And God was the one who allowed that army to come. But oh, what an example that is of a king who stands there and prays and he acknowledges God's goodness, God's greatness, what God has done, what God has promised. And said, Lord, we don't know what to do. And God gave them an answer. And the answer was an amazing one when you think about it from a military point of view. You're not going to even have to fight in this battle. And so you remember how they did. They sent the choir out ahead. You know, one of the things that I thought about, and I know I've made this point many times before. One thing I think we need to be careful of is looking into Scripture and finding and deriving formulas for getting things done, because this is the way it happened in this instance. How many of you know that every instance is different? It's unique. You can't go and say, well, this is what I did. These are the words I spoke. These are the actions I took. Therefore, this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is going to be the result. God is never going to put His purpose and His plan in our hands through formulas. He is never going to relieve us of being able or needing to look to Him and say, God, this is a unique situation. You have sent it. I know it doesn't matter. Thank you for everything you've ever done, but I need to know what to do here and now. You know, I made the semi-humorous point about the different ways that Jesus healed people's eyes, that He opened the eyes of the blind. There were occasions when He spoke to them. There were occasions when He reached out His hand and just touched their eyes and their eyes were opened. And then there was the time when He stooped down and gathered up some dirt, spit on it, made mud, and put it on the man's eyes and said, go to such and such a pool and wash. And He did, and he was healed. Now, which one is the right way to do it? You know, I've made the point in the past, you've got a basis for three denominations there. The speak the word only, the put your hand out and touch, and the mud in your eye bunch. Folks, there is nothing that's going to relieve us of being in the position where all we can do is stretch forth our hands and say, Lord, this situation allowed by You is unique. You haven't given me a formula. I need wisdom for this. And over again, you see that in Jesus' ministry, this sense of, I'm walking with my Father. I am looking to Him. I don't know what to do necessarily. I mean, this is Jesus basically needing His Father to lead Him. That was the position that He took coming into this world. He didn't know it all as a human being. He needed His Father the same way we do. And there He was looking to His Father every step that He took. And there were those He was trying to teach. Where is your faith? Well, God showed them that here's a situation. You're not, I want to bring you to the place where you can handle this, but right now you're not. And I want you to understand. You come into this situation looking at it a certain way, an earthly way, and you've already decided this can't happen or this can't be or this is something to be afraid of or we've got to come up with a plan. And Jesus is just relaxed and saying, Lord, I've cast my burden. Father, I've cast my burden upon You. You've already told me what to do, and we're going to do it and trust You. Doesn't matter what the devil throws in our path. You know, you could go on and on, I guess. And I'm just trusting that this is what the Lord wants to say this morning, but it certainly is to me. But I sense the heart of the Lord saying that you've got a little faith. I brought you a certain amount of this amount of distance in me. You've grown in me, and I've got a people that have opened their hearts to me, and they're alive, and they're mine. They're my children, and I love you. And I want you to grow in me. I want to get to the place where you are far more ready to trust in me instead of what you see and what you feel. God doesn't put us in situations and say, I'm standing back, you figure it out. He puts us in situations where faith is going to have to trust him. Faith is going to have to trust him when he waits and is silent, when he speaks. Whatever the circumstance is that's right in his plan for your life and mine, remember, he's the one writing my story and yours. He is going to bring us safely through. And the awesome thing is that, like Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And everything serves a purpose to prepare us for life in this world and in eternity with him. So I just want to trust him this morning. Again, I don't want to be one of those that just is stuck in a place where, where is your faith? Well, I believe in you. Well, I believe in this book. I go to church. I believe in you. When God is going to put us in real life situations where faith is going to have to take some kind of an action. It might be an action of just praying and looking, waiting. When your natural reaction is to do something, and God says, no, this is not the time to do. This is the time to wait. Or we're afraid and we don't want to do something, and the Lord said, this is the time to do this. And we're going to have to step out and do it. God can lead his people. Do you believe that? Does that apply to you or just to everybody else around you? See, this is the life that God has called us to. And I don't want to be one that's just stuck in this mode of where is your faith and oh, ye of little faith. I want to be one that says, God, increase my faith. And realize that what he's given us, realize his promises are true, and he's real and he's with us. And he's going to be with us to the end. So I don't think we've said anything that you haven't heard of, you know, many, many times before, but I don't know. I was going to say maybe this isn't relevant to everybody else, but it sure is to me. And if it isn't right now, if you're not in that place and things are comfortable, just wait. God is not here to give us a comfortable life where everything just is easy and pleasing to our flesh. God is going to put us in places where everything in our flesh and our circumstances is pushing us in a certain direction. We're going to have to say, no, God, I'm yours. I am willing to do your will, come what may. I'm trusting in you, and I'm going to stand on that, come what may. And I believe that God is going to help us, don't you?
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.